from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
And we are back on a Tuesday. Glad to be here with you on this fine Tuesday morning, recapping Royals, TBT, an Offspring concert. TJ Cleland joining us in just a second on the video stream, which you can find, of course, on 12 News Connected. Glad to have that partnership rocking and rolling. Want to say thank you also to Prairie Fire Coffee for fueling us up here in the mornings on KFH. Appreciate their support. TJ Cleland does join us. He was at the games last night. If you are new to the program, or if you're just missed this week, we have created a way to do video calls on the show to support this video stream. Loving that ability, TJ, 2 for 2 on these. Thanks for taking some time away from the new college football video game to join us today. I know that's where the attention has largely been focused. So what have you had that game? About a week now? Like what over under 40 hours solid work you've put in on the game so far?
Oh, it's 100% over 40. Somebody was joking. I went up to training camp on Sunday, and I had to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to get on the road by 5 to get up there. And somebody asked how my sleep schedule was able to handle that, and I said, oh, I've been training for the last week. I've run on 4 hours of sleep because of the game, so it's working pretty well.
Younger days, I was right there with you. Now that would wreck me for a week, but I'm glad the game's treating you well. So TBT last night, you were there. We were not. We were, speaking of staying up too late, we were, you know, going into full – you know, dad rock and roll mode of the 90s, watching the Offspring jamming out. So I did not see the game. So we were trying to follow along. Some bets hit. I was good on Mass Street and the under and all of those things. So let's start there and we'll get to the aftershocks. So Mass Street, not only do they win convincingly over a team that I feel like has been good over the years. So that's two pretty convincing wins now from Mastery. You've seen the good aftershocks teams that have been able to make runs over the years. Does this Mastery team look to you like a team who might have a shot at this thing?
Yeah, I was telling my parents, I went to the game with them last night as a fan. They came last year because they're big KU fans, and we watched that team with T-Rob and all of those guys. And, you know, they were pretty good, and they had kind of a loaded team last year. This year, they had a loaded roster. I don't think all the guys were able to make it out. So it's not on paper what we thought it was going to be. But they go like six deep, like seven players deep maybe. Like they keep the, like Frank Mason was on the court like the entire game, the past couple. And I told him, I was like, I can't believe that this is like a less loaded roster than it was last year. But I think that Frank Mason makes them so much better that they're a legit contender. I was telling them, you know, if you've watched Frank Mason in college, it looks like you're still watching the same Frank Mason, which is unbelievable because he's 30 years old now. But, I mean, his NBA experience, he was a killer in the G League for all these years that he was in there. I think he's playing in France now, he said. It hasn't worn off at all. He still knows his game well and executes it well.
I mean, LeGerald Vick was the dude last night for Mass Street. Five threes in the game, and, you know, he looked like he hasn't, you know, missed a step at all since he was playing inside Allen Fieldhouse. And he was somebody that, you know, I really felt like when he was wearing a Jayhawks jersey during his time at KU, it was kind of feast or famine. You know, like he had the opportunity. A lot of times he could put up 20-plus points in a game, or he could be pretty quiet. And last night for Mass Street, he was pretty hot.
Yeah, I think that honestly, going back to Frank Mason, that's a product of that. You know, LeGerald Vick's on the team last year, and it's a team that's centered around post play when you have Dedrick Lawson and Thomas Robinson inside. That's kind of how they shaped it. This year, they really have a true point guard that can open all these other options. You kind of have to worry about that you leave an open shooter from outside. And like you said, in his college days, it was kind of the same story. It depended on the play around him because he's not a guy that was going to go out and be a facilitator and creator and go get his own points. He knew his role of, I've got all these other stars around me, and I just need to do my job. And he did it well last night, and he knows what he can do to help this team.
So as they move forward, and it is star-studded, Billy Preston's on this team, you know, Dedrick Lawson's still there. They've got those dudes with Frank Mason now put into the mix. Is it a team? I'll ask the same question. Is it a team, do we think, that can make that kind of run, that can go and take this thing all the way through? It's so unpredictable in this tournament, as we saw with the Aftershocks, and we'll get to that. So unpredictable, and you have to be consistent if nothing else. I would say it's looking like they're that kind of team because they can shoot.
Yeah, I think, like you said, shooting is definitely a big part of the tournament, especially, you know, because it's such a single elimination. It's the same as March Madness. The farther you go, the less legs that you have. And if you can keep shooting the outside ball, you're going to be a better team. Because at the end of the day, you're going to lose your step after you've played five games in a row and stuff like that. And so I think, I mean, I was looking last night and watching the Aftershocks in round one. It was like Mass Street would beat them if they played like that. And you obviously have seen the caliber of how good the Aftershocks have been. And, you know, I think that they had enough talent, and the thing that makes the Aftershock so good is the amount of basketball that they played with each other. And this team is such kind of a crapshoot of the teams that get thrown in. Of some of them are just buddies that are just playing pickup basketball, and some of them are guys that were college teammates and run the plays that they ran in college, and that really makes a difference between good teams and great teams. Mass Street has a little bit of that continuity. I asked Dedrick Lawson about that the other day, and he said that he thinks that everybody on the roster played with somebody else on the roster at one point in time. So being Bill Self, you know that Bill Self plays. He's not a person that changes with the times or anything like that. If it works, he doesn't fix it. So I think that it is a team. Obviously, they got to get through Team Colorado now on Wednesday, who is a legit contender, especially when Andre Robertson, a former NBA veteran, can play like he played last night. He scored 20 points, and you know what he does on defense, watching just him play for the Thunder. But if they can get past Team Colorado, I think that those are two teams that I'd pick to compete with any of the teams watching.
One more about Mass Street from me. So you mentioned how this team obviously has a huge focus on shooting, where last year's team post play was really the priority. That's got to be a major focus and shift change just with the change in coach of this team, going from the Morris twins to Sharon Collins this year. Have you been able to see just kind of that major shift in focus with the team just based off of who's coaching this team?
Yeah, I guess I didn't think about that, about the coaching shift and everything like that. The one thing from the coaching shift that I would say is that it's fun to watch Sharon Collins coach as he's actually starting his coaching career. He's been the head coach at Lawrence High School the past 2 years, I believe, and now he's going somewhere on the KC Mo side to go coach some KC Preps basketball. But seeing him on the sidelines, you know, drawing up sets, you can tell that he's all about this and he's getting all these guys to buy into what he wants to do. And I know that there's definitely Bill Self influence with him on the sidelines. So a lot of fun watching them. And then I think that they just know that they talk, he talked about after their first win about, you know, when you got a guy like Frank Mason that goes out and scores 20 points in the first half, you understand that you need to run the ball through whatever Frank Mason wants to do out there and set up plays around him.
So the aftershocks are not so fortunate, and I'm surprised, but at the same time, I think it might be a bad draw. Team Colorado's good. The aftershocks have been good, but they don't make it through. What was the problem last night? What do you point to there?
It was back and forth the entire first half, and even my fiance Gabby watching the game made a comment last night that at the start of the second half, they went on a 12-0 run, I think, the aftershocks did, and just kind of looked like nothing could stop. But Marcus McDuffie scored like 9 points in a row or something ridiculous like that. And they were up by like 15 points, and then all of a sudden you look up towards the end of the quarter and it's a tie game again. And so I think that there was just a quiet run that Colorado went on, just getting stops, and it wasn't anything flashy. It was just getting stops and making points and just doing their job and making it. And then by the time you get to the Elam ending, all that you can do is just try to keep it close if you're the aftershocks, and they really did their job in that facet. I think they were down by 2 points or something like that whenever they went to the Elam ending finish. And then it kind of was just tough that Colorado made shot. I mean, they made 2 3-pointers and the final 8 points that they needed to get to. And, you know, it just kind of came down to what the aftershocks weren't in the driver's seat the entire fourth quarter. And I think that's not something that they're not used to being, you know, in this tournament. They always kind of are in the driver's seat, and the margin of error is a little bit higher whenever you have that, and especially you have the home crowd and you're able to go into these Elam endings with a lead or at least have some momentum going into them. Last night that wasn't the case, and they really had to try to claw back, and they went into scramble mode a little bit. You know, they're kind of forcing some shots, just trying to get some points on the board because they were just trying to stay in the basketball game while Colorado made everything in the fourth quarter. It felt like the field goal percentage, I don't know what it was, but it had to have been insane in the fourth quarter. So, and then even you go down to the final possession, if you got a chance to see it, they played great defense for 30 seconds. They almost forced a shot clock violation, and then they missed the rebound by an inch, get kicked out, and then make a contested three to win it. That's just kind of the story of the game.
Yeah, after halftime, it was certainly a game of runs. I mean, the aftershocks, you know, got out to a 44-33 lead in the third quarter, 12 unanswered points, really led and fueled by Marcus McDuffie in that third quarter. But then, as you mentioned, in the fourth quarter, Team Colorado, they had a 17-0 run in that fourth quarter, kind of entering into the Elam ending. And really, it was kind of uncharacteristic turnovers from the aftershocks that sort of led to that 17-0 run by Team Colorado. To me, it seems like, and we know that there were so many different things that were uncharacteristic in last night's game from this aftershocks team, the shots that Team Colorado made, the turnovers that the aftershocks committed, and it just sort of seemed like just not something that we're accustomed to seeing, not only from the aftershocks, but really any home team playing inside Coke Arena.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, thinking about it, thinking back retroactively, I think that it kind of helps them and hurts them that they've played so much basketball in this tournament now, because Connor Frankamp's a common name around the entire tournament that they know who their guys are going to be. And I think that, you know, teams are starting to game plan more and more because they've played so much basketball in this. And so I think that really, whenever they started to scramble, and I mean, in game one, they turned the ball over a solid amount in the, I don't remember what it was, but they had a span of turning the ball over and having to scramble a little bit there too. And, you know, whenever they're scrambling, the other team kind of knows what they're going to lean on. And that used to be Connor Frankamp, of let him facilitate and set everybody else up. And I think that they had to shift a little bit. You know, Marcus McDuffie took some more shots and he played well last night. And then I think that it was just a scramble of, that's the best way to put it. It was just a scramble, and they didn't know who to go to because they've been game planned against now.
So as we look at it, and I do think Colorado had a ton to do with it. You've seen Mass Street now and Colorado, quite frankly. What do we think of Mass Street's chances to get through the Wichita Regional? Because I think it will probably be pretty tough. They'll get favored if we're looking at a betting line, but it seems to me like it's going to be pretty tough.
Yeah. I mean, Team Colorado, obviously, on paper, is Andre Robertson's the star because the NBA player and everything like that. But the pieces they have around them, I can't even tell you their names just by watching. I know number 14, right, their point guard, is a scrappy veteran guy that's going to go and facilitate it well. He didn't play well last night, but he facilitated everything around him. The guy that hit the game winner, number five, is just an outside presence. And they're just kind of built, honestly, like the Aftershocks in the same way, that they have a guy that they kind of want to go around, but everybody else knows their role and is able to play. And that's what helps teams in this tournament. You look at the teams like the Midtown Prestige that gets knocked out in round one. They had a guy that scored 30 points and everything facilitated around him. And so you kind of knew the hierarchy of they want to go to this guy. I think Team Colorado does well because they don't have that. Everybody on the team is going to be pretty good. But looking on paper, I think that it's going to come down to the defensive matchup of how they're going to use Andre Robertson. You know, Billy Preston's been kind of a star in this tournament as the second option behind Frank Mason. So if they can take away Frank Mason or take away Billy Preston, they have to do one of the two. It's just going to be interesting to who they're going to game plan on this Mass Street team, because there's a lot of talent. But it's, like I said, a very short bench. If they can get them running, then it'll be interesting.
Going back to the Aftershocks really quick, TJ, it's been a heck of a 3 or 4 year run for the Aftershocks, and definitely a disappointing ending this season for them. Do you anticipate changes with this squad? Do you think that this was kind of the end of an era for the Aftershocks, or just a temporary setback, and we'll see, by and large, the same kind of squad, the same coaching staff, and just kind of, you know, they kind of reset and reload for next year?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably just going to be a reset. That'll be the same guys coming back and everything like that, because this is the core of the Aftershocks. It's the core of the recent awesome years of Wichita State basketball that I think that everybody wants to be here. All these guys, I don't know if you guys saw Taylor's story last night about Rashard Kelly, like driving 11 hours to get on a plane to get here in time, because this means so much to these guys and they just want to be in Wichita. So the one thing that stuck out to me is that, you know, losing early in this tournament, it's really kind of been, they've been a wrecking ball, and the TBT really respects that and knows how much attendance they can bring and everything like that. You know, obviously the attendance the past two games, with it being a first and a second round game, wasn't what it was last year, getting 7,000 people there and everything. So getting bounced early and the attendance being a little bit lower makes me wonder what the TBT is going to do, because all these bigger programs are getting into it. You know, Rupp Arena hosted this year, Louisville hosted this year. Makes me wonder if they're still going to respect Wichita enough to let them keep hosting year in and year out like they have. So if they do next year, I think that the attention really turns towards the Aftershocks to, you know, get some fans in there and perform.
I'd have to see the attendance numbers at those other places. I would still, even though it's been a little less for Wichita, I wonder this all the time, it's still probably more than most. So I don't know. I mean, maybe 1 year, who knows, but it's been a blast. I hate that they lost. So we get Mass Street, we get Team Colorado. That'll be Wednesday night. 12 News will have us covered there, TJ. Anything fun or special coming up then on Wednesday for it?
We'll just have some live coverage beforehand. It's the 8 p.m. tip-off, which is the killer for local TV, so we're going to have to get creative a little bit and see what we're going to do there. But we'll definitely have some presence there one way or another.
All right, TJ Cleland, 12 News Sports Director. Breaking news, Patrick Mahomes threw a touchdown pass to Rashee Rice in training camp today. Just seeing that, everybody. Let's go. Hey. No, we appreciate it, TJ. Good luck Wednesday. We'll get a look at that. All the coverage there at 12 News. You're, of course, watching us on 12 News Connected, and we'll see the coverage on Wednesday as well on 12 News. TJ, get back to college football video game.
All right, it's very hard. I need some practice. Thank you, guys.
All right, there goes TJ Cleland, 12 News Sports Director. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. A couple NFL storylines I want to get to. We can check in from Chiefs camp. But I want to talk about this Jordan Love situation. Here we go. This one's interesting, I think, for the Packers to have to make a decision here. Seems like a no-brainer. Is it? 1 year? Kind of? He's been around a long time, though. We'll talk about it next. Sports Daily, Albrecht and Caster. Don't go away.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Is your house in need of repair, such as painting inside or out, or a new water heater, or a new faucet for the kitchen or bathroom, or maybe just looking for a new grill to put on the deck or patio? Pride Ag Ace and Mays is just the place to be. We have what you need. And remember, we take pride in serving you.
Go Hog Wild Pit Barbecue. Hog Wild, get some for you.
It's $5.99 barbecue time. Hurry to Hog Wild for a complete barbecue meal that's only $5.99. Terry Caldwell, Hog Wild partner and general manager in Wichita at Maple and West Street, has all the details on this smoking deal.
Get a Hog Wild sandwich loaded with our award-winning meats like pulled pork, pulled chicken, or hot links, plus your choice of a classic side and a drink for just $5.99.
Upgrade your sandwich to beef brisket for just a dollar more. Join us for lunch or dinner. You can also order online at GoHogWild.com. Hog Wild Pit Barbecue, 6 locations in Wichita, also in Derby, El Dorado, Hutchinson, and Salina.
Go Hog Wild Pit Barbecue, Hog Wild, get some for you. But don't be late, we close at 8.
Toppers Plus Truck and RV, your RV headquarters, now offers Rhino Linings EcoCoat, a spray-on roof lining to protect your RV from daily wear. It's 100% seamless, won't crack or peel, UV-resistant, lasts 3 times longer than a rubber roof, with a Toppers Plus lifetime leak-free guarantee. Shop in-stock accessories including sewer and electrical items, freshwater hoses, stabilizing kits, lock kits, AC filter parts, and RV decor. Get your free RV roof inspection at Toppers Plus Truck and RV, 333 Northwest Street, or toppersplusks.com.
Make your truck work for you!
Hi, I'm Trey Bossa with Market Medicare Advisors here in Wichita. I'm excited to announce I'm hosting a brand new show, Health in Retirement. Our team of health insurance advisors will educate you on healthcare pricing, exercise and fitness, and news updates in an easygoing and fun conversation. Go to healthandretirement.com to watch the show and submit questions you want us to answer. Health in Retirement, golden advice for your golden years.
Investment advisory services are offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
Mom, it's school shopping time.
On it. Ooh, Target has select supplies like crayons and glue sticks for 25 cents, plus markers for 50 cents.
Next, my new Rockstar vibe means new clothes.
Ooh, totally. These graphic tees are $6 and made to last.
And a strawberry lunch bag to match my sweet personality.
Got it. And it's only $5. Let's get your favorite Good & Gather snacks. They're now at a new lower price.
Best team ever.
When it comes to low prices, Target has your back to school.
Hi, Tom here. Coming up tomorrow morning on the Bob and Tom Show, it'll be Ali Breen with Sexy Time.
My wife has a work husband who she's always described as a total dork. And then I met him and he's way better looking than I am.
No, you are insecure. Just don't be.
That's good advice. Though. Like if you were a psychologist, look at, I'm sad, doctor. Don't be. Next. That's tomorrow morning on the Bob and Tom Show. Bob and Tom mornings. This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Hello, Wichita. This is Kansas City Royals radio announcer Steve Stewart inviting you to listen to Kansas City Royals baseball right here on Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Thanks to TJ Cleland, 12 News, for hopping on with us there on the program. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. It is golf and weather out there. Take advantage. It's not so hot. We're back to normal July, which is just fine for us here. Kids are about to go back to school. They're still doing all the kids' camps out there. The pool's open. It's been a minute. We went through all the swim team stuff there at Crestview with our kids. Now we haven't been to the pool in a while. Kind of get out there and get to the pool.
My wife and my kids went swimming yesterday, like right before you and I went to the concert last night. So they were walking in the door a little like, you know, early evening after dinner swim. They were walking in the door as I was walking out to go to the concert. So got a chance to see them. I mentioned, by the way, on the show that I played golf out at Crestview on Sunday. You didn't ask me about my score, though.
I did not. That's correct.
Then I told you it was my best round of the year. So I didn't even get a chance to share that until today. So I'm a little disappointed in that.
We're happy for you. You know, where does that rank with talking about your fantasy football team on a Monday around the office? Like, where does "you'll never guess what I shot" rank with, man, my fantasy football team kicked tail last night? Like, if we're putting those into like things that we talk to people about that they very clearly don't care about, how does that stack up?
I would rank my golf score higher than fantasy football because there's physical, like, ability involved
But what I mean is, like, would you rank it higher in the part that, like, people don't care?
Oh,
like, people care less about your golf score or less about your fantasy football score?
I don't know. I don't care if people don't care. I care.
No, I know.
That's all that matters.
Well, we don't. Right, nor do we about fantasy football because we're going to tell everybody
anyway. I'm not telling you because I think you care. I know you don't care. I'm telling you because I care. That's the only reason why I'm bringing it up.
I'm really excited for you.
Very happy.
Is that how our wives feel like when we're trying to tell them something? Like, that sounds great. And we do that. You know, same with us. Like, sure. I'm so happy that you saved so much money by spending all that money on whatever it is that you did. I'm so happy that you saved all. Like, are we doing that right now? I think that's where we're at with that particular conversation. But I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
At Crestview. Was it north or south?
It was the north course. I shot a 79. That's not my best score ever, but it's my best score of the year. And so I was very happy about that. It was a good round. And I hope it's one of those rounds that you get done playing and you're like, I don't want to be done. And now I want to go back out and play again today and, you know, again the next day and again the next day.
I've been trying to play a little bit more. I've been, you know, 9 holes at a time is about all I can get. I've played 18 holes one time this year. But you know, the 9 hole thing, and I'm, you know, we're coming along, but I'm really excited for you, and your score. I think you should go talk to your wife about it and see what she thinks about your score.
I tried to break it down hole by hole, shot by shot, how I did. Yeah.
I got through this draw on 12. I had such a good draw on it. I just went right around
maybe one hole, and she was clearly tuning me out, which I think she does in general. It doesn't matter what I'm talking about. So
yeah. It's married life. We all do it to each other. Jordan Love, are you tuning this out? Because I don't know what to think about this one. You knew it was coming, and I'm surprised the Packers have let it get to this point. If you haven't seen the news, basically Jordan Love says he's not practicing till he gets his contract extension. And normally I would say, 1 year, buddy, like get out there and prove it. You know, you had a nice year and all of these things. And he was just sort of inside the top 10. I like Jordan Love. I think his upside is high. But just, you know, as an aside, like Derek Carr and Russell Wilson had higher quarterback ratings than Jordan Love last year. Not that that's the end all be all. I'm just, you know, just going to throw that out there. Like he's still ascending to, you know, and you see the upside and we haven't seen much of him. But here's where it's different. And here's where I get it. And it ain't his fault he had to sit back and wait like that. So the Packers they find themselves in a unique situation of their own creation. And now you're getting to the point where it is reasonable that he wants a deal because he has been around a while. It's not like he was a rookie last year or he sat out 1 year last year. Last year was finally the first time he got an opportunity. He was pretty good. And we know you got to pay quarterbacks in this league. And of all the quarterbacks that have been paid, they got to pay Jordan Love, don't they?
Like, why is this the thing? I think they do have to pay him. I mean, just the way that he not only came into that role, but the way that he was patient enough to wait for the job to be his, you know, and he never complained about it, at least from what I can remember. He was incredibly patient, biding his time, knowing that it ultimately would be his job. Then think about all the other quarterbacks that came out of his draft class or around the time or even were drafted after him that immediately were put into a starting role or even the next year. And he sat on the bench and he waited. And it wasn't that he had a lack of skill to be a starting quarterback. It was just the Packers were very deliberate with their plan. They were very strategic. They knew exactly what they were going to do. They knew he was going to be the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers. They knew when Aaron Rodgers was probably going to be leaving the team, and they had their plan. And Jordan Love went along with it, and to my knowledge, never really pushed back on it. He has done everything that the Packers have asked him to do in his career. He wants to get paid now. He is their starting quarterback, and they were a much improved team in that division a year ago. And by all accounts, they should continue to be a much improved team. Will they be the division winner in the NFC North this year? I don't think so. I think the Lions are going to be the presumptive favorites. And then, you know, from that point on, I mean, I think the Bears are an unknown because of Caleb Williams and the way they've got that offense rebuilt. And who knows what the Vikings will be with J.J. McCarthy. But I do think that knowing the way that Jordan Love has, you know, improved the offense of the Packers, they certainly could be a playoff contender this season. And so knowing that he's done everything they've asked him to do in his career, he's asking to get paid. I think they should pay him, obviously. And I don't blame him for the first time in his career saying, you know what, I don't think I really want to practice until I actually get paid.
He's right. I mean, he's right. Unfortunately, this is how the negotiation works in the NFL. Here's what it comes down to. If you're Gutekunst and the Packers, and you have to answer this question before you get to anything else. Is he worth it? Is Jordan Love worth $50 million a year? Would you pay it?
I think he is.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean,
relative.
What other choice do you have if you're the Packers?
Correct. But to pay relative to your options and to the market and what it is. We know that you cannot win in this league without a great quarterback. We know that, for the most part, you cannot win in this league without a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, at least when we're talking Super Bowls. And so if you have a quarterback, and there is such a clear difference between, you know, the guys who can cut it in the league and the guys who cannot, that you don't really have much of an option when you get there. You know, it's a little bit different than, let's say, the Cowboys and the decision that they've got to make with Dak Prescott. They're trying to evaluate whether he's the guy, where are they as an organization. The Packers aren't asking those questions. Everybody on the planet feels like that's an ascending organization, right? With a young quarterback who it is time to take a chance on him. Very different than some of these situations that quarterbacks find themselves in. He waited his turn. He went out there and he absolutely proved it last year. And if you're the Packers, this is sort of exactly how you wanted this to go, isn't it? Like, you wanted him to sit back. You wanted to run with Rodgers. Now he gets out there. He looks like he's pretty good. Now you have to pay him. I don't understand how this one got to this point.
I think it's a non-issue. I think it's a non-issue in the whole scheme of things. I don't sense a whole lot of friction. I don't sense a whole lot of drama. I don't think that, you know, this is something that's going to drag out long term. There's a reason why Jordan Love is doing this now, as opposed to doing it in August, late in August, at the very beginning of September, where there could potentially be a risk of him missing preseason games or, you know, God forbid, regular season games. Like, that's not, I don't think, on the table. He's doing it right now because this is the bargaining chip that he has to get a new contract. The Packers don't have another option. They have positioned Jordan Love as the quarterback of the future for this franchise since day one, since the day they drafted him. He was the quarterback of the future. They have put not only resources in the fact of time into him, but resources and developing under Aaron Rodgers and all of that. Like, he's their guy. And they've, to the Packers' credit, they've never wavered from that. It's not like they've ever drafted anybody else at quarterback since Jordan Love. It's not like they have, you know, entertained or been rumored to be entertaining other quarterbacks in the free agent cycle or training for anybody. Like, it is Jordan Love. It's Jordan Love's job. Even when there, I think, was skepticism when Aaron Rodgers left town and nobody had ever seen really Jordan Love play in the league, like, will he be able to take over, you know, the torch? Like, the torch is being passed to him. Can he take it and run with it? He's been able to do that, and he's ran with it. And so the Packers have never wavered as him as the starting quarterback long term for this franchise. So I don't think that there's a major issue here. I think a deal will get done because the Packers have nowhere else to go.
Yeah, I think it'll get done too. I do not think, though, that is a foregone conclusion that Jordan Love's going to be awesome for the next decade. I need to see more on that. I just think the Packers don't have a choice financially in you know what they're doing here. If he is good, right? Like, if he's really good and he's making Pro Bowls and doing all these things, has there been an organization better at doing quarterback, you know, at evaluating quarterback at whatever than the Packers over the last 30 years? Like, has there been a better run of Favre, Rodgers, potentially Love, Hall of Famer, and what appears to be at least a pretty good player? I don't know that there's been, and this is top of my head, so I'd really have to think about this. Like, has anyone had that level of continuity at that position like they have that you can think of?
No. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, you know, they've done a really, really good job going all the way back to Brett Favre. And Brett Favre was a reclamation project when they brought him in. Yeah. You know, the Falcons didn't want him and they didn't think that he would be a successful quarterback in the league and, you know, turned into one of the best quarterbacks in that era, you know, no doubt about it. So, and then being able to hit on Aaron Rodgers and, you know, it looks like by all accounts that they're going to hit on Jordan Love. Will Jordan Love be a star in the league? I don't know. I think the jury is still out on that, but can he be a successful quarterback? Yeah. I mean, I think that he's shown that already in his young career. And I do think that that strategy with Jordan Love so far has paid off. You know, I equate it to an extent, the way that the Packers have evaluated quarterbacks over the last 30 years to the way the Steelers have evaluated head coaches in the last 50 years. Or wide receivers. But, I mean, you know, Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. You know, like, there have been three head coaches. Like, then that's really kind of been the way that the Steelers have operated from a coaching perspective. That's the way the Packers have operated from a quarterback perspective.
The Niners are the only one that kind of comes to mind as in the conversation. Of course, Montana DeYoung. And then I don't remember who took over right after Young.
They had a lot of turnover. I mean, you know, Jeff Garcia was there for a minute. And
Garcia was pretty good. Alex Smith was fine. Kaepernick, while he was the starter, was fine. And then they have sort of bounced around. So even them, not really. The Packers, like, they have what looks like the ability to just sort of not ever have to skip a beat for three generations of quarterback in the NFL. That's pretty wild. That is pretty wild to think about, but that's where they are in this. They got to get it done. I do think it's one of the more interesting holdouts now as we wait on Jamar Chase and we wait on these others. I'd sort of forgotten about Jordan Love. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, he's not going to practice. I'm like, oh yeah. Like, he's been around. He's probably due for a contract, and here we go. And they'll give him one. But knowing they're going to give him one, and they are, why are we here now? Training camp's here. Why has this not been done? That's the curious part of it. Like, what are we doing? Like, what, you cannot kill the momentum that you built last year. Give me a break. So we'll see. But Jordan Love wants a whole bunch of money, and they're going to give it to him. And, you know, they're going to give it to him whether he's worth it or not. I think he's, you know, again, he's had a year to show it, and he did. They gave him the opportunity. He went out there and
he took
earned
him to the playoffs
by relative NFL standards, right? To what get quarterbacks paid. And you look across the league at the quarterbacks that have been paid. I think he's at least earned that. And the Packers are, you know, they're in this situation because they chose to be in this situation. But don't fumble it now. Like, go get it done. Even if I don't think they will either, but I think they have to some degree by letting it get to even this point. Like, why are we in training camp and this is a problem?
I think it's ultimately going to be inconsequential. Again, like, it's not like he's missing.
Our guy's
missing,
only been a starter 1 year, though.
I don't think he's missing meaningful opportunities here. I mean, I think that there are, we'll talk about this again in 2 weeks, you know, or in a month. If it drags out that long, okay, then I'm willing to have a conversation that this could be an issue that might negatively impact the chemistry of this team and how things are set up. But as of right now, I don't have any concern. I think that it'll be done sooner rather than later. And by that, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if there's an announcement by the end of this week that they've come to terms on a deal. The thing about it, too, is that the market is set. There aren't other quarterbacks that are, at least to my knowledge, that are currently negotiating deals right now that are in the same situation as Jordan Love. So he kind of has, like, he's doing it on his own right now. It's not like he's competing with other quarterbacks on deals. So it's like he knows where the market stands. His representation clearly knows that too. So they can go and they can get a new deal done with the Packers, who I think by all accounts probably are eager to get something done as well. Get it done by the end of the week. I think you see him back out of practice next week, and it's a moot point.
We always sort of have to ask, does this guy deserve to be the highest paid quarterback in the league? And that's probably what he wants to do, is reset the market. And that's what they're trying to evaluate, I would imagine. But at some point, like, you got to understand the business of this thing. It doesn't matter. You just got to do it. That's how the NFL works. All right, let's take a quick break. 869-1240. Let's come back. We will... We'll take a look at the Royals tonight from a betting perspective. Anything out there we like in the opportunity against the Diamondbacks, we'll do that. When we return, it's all Brockton Caster. You can win some HTO. Don't forget, text the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. We're coming right back with more Sports Daily after this.
And 1240 KFH.
You expect your home to protect everything you love, but you don't expect the ways water is breaking down your foundation and damaging your home. Cracks in walls and uneven floors are just a few signs your foundation is compromised. But there's one way to get answers to all your concerns. A free home inspection from Groundworks. We put water back in its place. the official foundation repair company of the Wichita State Shockers. Go to groundworks.com. Licensed in all states. See website for details.
Hello, I'm Derek with Derek's Deals. At Derek's Deals, we sell pallets of liquidated merchandise and specialize in pallets for resellers. You can expect anything from electronics to housewares, tools to small appliances, and much more. Derek's Deals is open to the public, and we have new pallets weekly. Pallets range in size and price, and you can get to choose your pallet. No appointment necessary. Open Fridays 12 to 6 and Saturdays 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come by 1518 East Lewis. Find us on Facebook or at DerekSteelsICT.com.
Come and enjoy a free birthday boil at Hook and Reel. Valid only with minimum of a 2-entree purchase, proof of ID, and also valid 3 days before and 3 days after birthday. Located in Town East parking lot, East Kellogg.
The 2024 Rusty Egg Ford Adopt-A-School Golf Tournament was held on June 17th at Reflection Ridge Golf Course and raised over $125,000 for 450 local teachers. Thank you to the 144 golfers, sponsors, donors, volunteers, and media partners who make this possible each year. The 28th annual fundraiser benefits local teachers, and all proceeds are distributed to benefit our teachers in the classrooms. To learn how you can help, go to RustyEggFord.com. We will see you next year.
We're excited to announce the return of the KEYN Summer Concert Series, sponsored by IHOP in the Old Spaghetti Factory. Free music Friday, July 26th with the Source Band at Capitol Federal Amphitheater in Andover. Join us for an outstanding lineup of entertainment, free and convenient parking, food trucks, and more. Gates open at 6:30. Music starts at 8 p.m. Bring lawn chairs and blankets for an outdoor event under the stars. No outside coolers allowed. Dance the night away with friends and family.
Hope Wichita is joining with Convoy of Hope again on July 27th at 9 locations in Wichita, Valley Center, Hutchinson, and August 3rd in Newton. It's your chance to help community members have a little more hope and encouragement. You can make a difference. Join the volunteer team to greet cars, hand out groceries, welcome bags, and backpacks with school supplies. Over 1,500 volunteers are needed to make this day a reality. Sign up to work at any of the sites. Go to volunteerkansas.org. For more info, go to hopewichita.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
La 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 la.
Oops. Ever had your singing lessons cut short by icy water?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
Say goodbye to those cold notes with Navien tankless water heaters. With Navien, you'll hit all the right notes without the surprise chill. So keep singing and let Navien keep the hot water flowing. And get ready for the encore when you get your utility bill.
La, 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 la.
Navien tankless water heaters. Visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
KIN Sports, I'm Spencer Dupuy. The Royals rolled over the Diamondbacks last night, 10-4 in the series opener. Cole Reagans didn't have his best start, but still had a quality start as he went six innings, giving up six hits, three runs, while striking out five. John Schreiber came out for the seventh and struck out a batter. Chris Stratton got the eighth and gave up a run on a hit. Will Smith got the ninth and gave up a hit. Bobby Witt Jr. was a single shy of the cycle as he had a three-run homer in the game. Vinny Pasquantino and Kyle Isbell also both had three hits. Mikel Garcia had two hits. After the game, manager Matt Cotrero talked about Bobby Witt Jr.
It's hard to describe the power he displays, the poise at the plate. It's like he's playing a different game, you know. And even the guys, they're all like, you know, this is, are you kidding me? You know, just because Castro is no easy right-hander to face, and he comes in there that first pitch, and you know, you don't expect him to hit a homer, but I guess he maybe start trying to expect it. It's incredible what he's doing right now. Absolutely incredible.
The Royals have now matched their win total from 2023 with a record of 56-45. They're now four games back of the Guardians for first in the Central. Game two of the series with the Diamondbacks is set for tonight at 7:10 p.m. with Alec Marshall on the Bump. Kansas Information Network Sports. I'm Spencer Dupuy.
Don't have the Odyssey app?
How'd you let me know?
Download it now. Follow KFH Radio and start listening. AUDACY. Odyssey.
Hey, Wichita, Jim Rome here. Join me weekdays at 11 right here on KFH.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I wanna hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Football coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. I joked about a touchdown pass to Rashi Rice at training camp. More notably, I think, today, it sounds like, Tommy, that Wanya Morris is taking all the first-team reps at practice. And I would imagine that that is of significance because they are going to have to come up with some sorting of things. And look, if he's looked better in practice and they're rotating guys out and he's looked the best, he needs to be the starter. No matter what else is out there, if he's the player playing the best at the position, he needs to just be the starter at the position.
The question then just becomes, if he's the best at the position between the two, that's one thing. But is it the best that, you know, he needs to be to protect Patrick Mahomes? And is it the best of what they have available, or is it actually, you know, the best that, you know, and effective? Will he be an effective left tackle? And I know that, you know, they had high hopes for Wanya Morris, and I'm sure they still do, and that's probably why he's getting all the first-team reps. I'm not doubting him. But that is an extremely essential position, as we all know. And it's been the position that's had the most turnaround. It's the position that has had the most turnover. And so they've got to try to find a way to solidify that. My hope, my sincere and genuine hope, is that whether it is Wanya Morris or Kingsley Suamataya, that one of them sticks, that they become the long-term answer and they are effective at left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. And this doesn't become, or continue at least, to be the constant conversation year in and year out about what they need to do to fix left tackle. So if it becomes Wanya Morris, that's fantastic. That's my only question, though, is if he's getting all the first-team reps and if he's the starter, is it that he's the best out of the two, or is he actually an effective left tackle? That's the only thing
I don't think he's had a fair shake. He's a third-round pick. Last year was his first year in the league. They obviously had high expectations for him, or they wouldn't have taken him in the third round. I think there's absolutely a world where Morris and Suamataya, who they took in the second round this year, become your tackles, and Jawan Taylor moves out. There's totally a world where Wanya Morris is your left tackle. They spent high draft capital on a player like him. I mean, a third round pick. It's not all that different than Kingsley Suamataya. So, and that is a part of the draft. They've been good at finding these guys. I think there is certainly a scenario where he elevates his game into that starter's role, and it's for a good reason, right? Because he's become a better player in the offseason. He's a second year player. I don't know that we've given enough credit to that, because we saw Donovan Smith and we saw Jawan Taylor, and neither of those guys. But Wanya Morris was a young player that could elevate himself into that position for sure. So could Suamataya. And guess what? If that bumps Jawan Taylor on the right side, the Chiefs have accomplished their goal, I think, long term by finding the two tackles in back to back drafts. That's what we'll see. But if Morris is earning the spot because he's playing well, heck yeah. I think that's one of the best things that could happen for the Chiefs this offseason, quite frankly. All right, let's look at the Royals tonight. They play at 7 o'clock, looking for their fifth straight win. Bobby Witt Jr. looks to continue his streak. There may be a little animosity in there. The Royals on the money line right now, Tommy, are minus 115. They are actually not favored tonight. The Diamond, this is according to ESPN Bet, the Royals are not favored tonight. The Diamondbacks are behind Jordan Montgomery. So I think that's pretty interesting. You can get, you know, minus 115 there. Well, I guess they would be slight favorites. Let me take that back. They're slight favorites. It's almost perfectly even. Is this another game where you take the run line and try to get some plus money on that? I think it certainly could be the way they're playing. I think that's absolutely a place to look, is to the Royals run line. If you did that right now, you'd get them at plus 170 if they win by two runs. That sounds pretty good to me.
I mean, I think the line is where it is, not only because of Jordan Montgomery, but also because you don't always know what you're going to get from Alec Marsh. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I mean, he could, you know, spin a gym, or he could get blown up. It's kind of one extreme or the other, typically, from what we see from Alec Marsh. And so you wonder, will it be the good Alec Marsh or will it be the bad Alec Marsh? He pitched a pretty good game the last start that he had, but that was all the way back on July 10th. As we've talked about before, we haven't seen Alec Marsh start a game since then. He came out of the bullpen, right after the All-Star break briefly, but we haven't seen him start since, I think it was that doubleheader, one of the games in the doubleheader against the Cardinals back on July 10th. He went six innings in that game. He did give up three runs on three hits, but he had eight strikeouts, and the Royals won that game on the road against the Cardinals. So I don't know. I mean, I think that, you have to wonder, will there be any kind of, rust that he has to shake off? I know they gave him an inning in relief over the weekend on Friday, but will there be any kind of rust? It's been a couple of weeks since he started a game, so I do wonder about that.
All right, so here's one for you, and I may do this one for fun because I like that run line. And it really is like, do you think Bobby Witt Jr.'s streak continues tonight? You can get right now total bases, Bobby Witt Jr. over 2.5 total bases, and the Royals minus 1.5. You put those together, and on ESPN bet, you get to +395. +395, almost 4-1, basically. 4-1 for Bobby Witt Jr. and the Royals to both continue this together. Yeah, I might have some fun with that on a small number tonight. That's kind of where I'm at. It really is. Like, do you want to miss out on the opportunity here to strike while the iron's hot? And there was a portion of this season when the Royals got hot earlier in the year, they made a lot of money. They made me a lot of money because you just kept going back to the well until they, while they're on this heater, they beat people. They beat people badly. The players get hot. So that's something to think about. Is that bet there with the Royals tonight? So there's that for you. When we look at it, with Marsh, the offense, just be ready to bail him out. I mean, is that kind of how we're, maybe you get a gym, maybe you don't, but sometimes pitchers get great offensive performances consistently. So that's kind of how I look at him now. You'd like to see the Royals offense just give him a little run, and probably they'll need to lean into the bullpen a little bit more than they have through some of these starts out of the All-Star break.
Well, and the offense has, come out hot since the All-Star break. Of course, 10 runs last night against the Diamondbacks, and then, the way that they hit against the White Sox over the weekend. The offense is coming alive. Jordan Montgomery, though, will be the best pitcher that the Royals have faced since the All-Star break. So, do we expect another 10 runs coming from the Royals in tonight's game? Probably not. Probably not. But I do think that that's going to have to be the way that the Royals get the win tonight, is that I don't think you can expect a gem from Alec Marsh. If you get it, that's a bonus. I think it's going to have to be the offense coming out early, getting some run support. And then, if you can then lean on the bullpen, because I think that Alec Marsh, if you can get five or six innings out of him where he gives up two or three runs, that's about, I think, typically what you can expect from him, or what you should expect from him. If it's better than that, outstanding, it's a bonus. But five or six innings, two or three, maybe four runs from Alec Marsh, the offense should do more than that, and then lean on the bullpen to have, a solid back half of the game. And I think that's going to be a good recipe for success.
Yeah, I do too. I think it'll be fine. I think they'll be fine. And I think that they're going to continue the win streak tonight, even with Marsh. And then if they do, then your eyes get big if you're a Royals fan. All right, if you make it through and you get the Marsh win, then you rotate back through the rest of that, and this thing really could pile up. But we'll see. You'll hear the game tonight at 7 o'clock right here on KFH. We're going to take our final break. We'll come back, put a bow on this thing. Don't go away. Sports Daily returns next. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Thanks to TJ Cleland, 12 News, for hopping on with us there on the program. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. It is golf and weather out there. Take advantage. It's not so hot. We're back to normal July, which is just fine for us here. Kids are about to go back to school. They're still doing all the kids' camps out there. The pool's open. It's been a minute. We went through all the swim team stuff there at Crestview with our kids. Now we haven't been to the pool in a while. Kind of need to get out there and get to the pool.
My wife and my kids went swimming yesterday, like right before you and I went to the concert last night. So they were walking in the door a little, like, you know, early evening after dinner swim. They were walking in the door as I was walking out to go to the concert. So got a chance to see them. I mentioned, by the way, on the show that I played golf out at Crestview on Sunday. You didn't ask me about my score, though.
I did not. That's correct.
Then I told you it was my best round of the year. So I didn't even get a chance to share that until today. So I'm a little disappointed in that.
We're happy for you. You know, where does that rank with talking about your fantasy football team on a Monday around the office? Like, where does "you'll never guess what I shot" rank with, "man, my fantasy football team kicked tail last night"? Like, if we're putting those into like things that we talk to people about that they very clearly don't care about, how does that stack up?
I would rank my golf score higher than fantasy football because there's physical, like, ability involved in that.
But what I mean is, like, would you rank it higher in the part that, like, people don't care?
Oh.
Like, people care less about your golf score or less about your fantasy football score?
I don't know. I don't care if people don't care. I care. No, I know. That's all that matters.
Well, we don't. Right. Nor do we about fantasy football, because we're going to tell everybody,
like,
anyway.
I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you because I think you care. I know you don't care. I'm telling you because I care. That's the only reason why I'm bringing it up.
I'm really excited for you.
Very happy.
Is this what
for
our
me?
Wives? Is that how our wives feel like when we're trying to tell them something? Like, that sounds great, and we do that. You know, same with us. Like, sure. I'm so happy that you saved so much money by spending all that money on whatever it is that you did. I'm so happy that you saved all. Like, are we doing that right now? I think that's where we're at with that particular conversation. But I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
At Crestview. Was it North or South?
It was the North course. I shot a 79. That's not my best score ever, but it's my best score of the year. And so I was very happy about that. It was a good round. And I hope it's one of those rounds that you get done playing and you're like, I don't want to be done. And now I want to go back out and play again today. And, you know, again the next day and again the next day.
I've been trying to play a little bit more. I've been, you know, 9 holes at a time is about all I can get. I still haven't. I think I've played 18 holes one time this year. But you know, the 9 hole thing, and I'm you know, we're coming along, but I'm really excited for you, and your score. I think you should go talk to your wife about it and see what she thinks about your score.
I tried to break it down hole by hole, shot by shot, how I did. Yeah.
I got this draw on 12. I had such a good draw on it. I just went right around
maybe one hole, and she was clearly tuning me out, which I think she does in general. It doesn't matter what I'm talking about. So
Yeah, that's married life. We all do it to each other. Jordan Love, are you tuning this out? Because I don't know what to think about this one. You knew it was coming, and I'm surprised the Packers have let it get to this point. If you haven't seen the news, basically Jordan Love says he's not practicing till he gets his contract extension. And normally I would say, 1 year, buddy, like, get out there and prove it. You know, you had a nice year and all of these things. And he was just sort of inside the top 10. I like Jordan Love. I think his upside is high. But just, you know, as an aside, like, Derek Carr and Russell Wilson had higher quarterback ratings than Jordan Love last year. Not that that's the end all be all. I'm just, you know, just going to throw that out there. Like, he's still ascending to, you know, when you see the upside, and we haven't seen much of him. But here's where it's different, and here's where I get it. And it ain't his fault he had to sit back and wait like that. So the Packers they find themselves in a unique situation of their own creation. And now you're getting to the point where it is reasonable that he wants a deal, because he has been around a while. It's not like he was a rookie last year or he sat out 1 year last year. Last year was finally the first time he got an opportunity. He was pretty good. And we know you got to pay quarterbacks in this league. And of all the quarterbacks that have been paid, they got to pay Jordan Love, don't they? Like, why is this the thing?
I think they do have to pay him. I mean, just the way that he not only came into that role, but the way that he was patient enough to wait for the job to be his, you know, and he never complained about it, at least from what I can remember. You know, he was incredibly patient, biding his time, knowing that it ultimately would be his job. Then think about all the other quarterbacks that came out of his draft class or around the time, or even were drafted after him, that immediately were put into a starting role, or even the next year. And he sat on the bench and he waited. And it wasn't that he had a lack of skill to be a starting quarterback. It was just the Packers were very deliberate with their plan. They were very strategic. They knew exactly what they were going to do. They knew he was going to be the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers. They knew when Aaron Rodgers was probably going to be leaving the team, and they had their plan. And Jordan Love went along with it, and to my knowledge, never really pushed back on it. He has done everything that the Packers have asked him to do in his career. He wants to get paid now. He is their starting quarterback, and they were a much improved team in that division a year ago. And by all accounts, they should continue to be a much improved team. Will they be the division winner in the NFC North this year? I don't think so. I think the Lions are going to be the presumptive favorites. And then, you know, from that point on, I mean, I think the Bears are an unknown because of Caleb Williams and the way they've got that offense rebuilt. And who knows what the Vikings will be with J.J. McCarthy. But I do think that knowing the way that Jordan Love has, you know, improved the offense of the Packers, they certainly could be a playoff contender this season. And so knowing that he's done everything they've asked him to do in his career, he's asking to get paid. I think they should pay him, obviously. And I don't blame him for the first time in his career saying, you know what, I don't think I really want to practice until I actually get paid.
He's right. I mean, he's right. Unfortunately, this is how the negotiation works in the NFL. What it comes down to. If you're Gutekunst and the Packers, and you have to answer this question before you get to anything else, is he worth it? Is Jordan Love worth $50 million a year? Would you pay him?
I think he is.
Yeah, I do too.
What other choice do you have if you're the Packers?
Correct. Relative to your options and to the market and what it is, we know that you cannot win in this league without a great quarterback. We know that for the most part, you cannot win in this league without a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, at least when we're talking Super Bowls. And so if you have a quarterback, and there is such a clear difference between, you know, the guys who can cut it in the league and the guys who cannot, that you don't really have much of an option when you get there. You know, it's a little bit different than, let's say, the Cowboys and the decision that they've got to make with Dak Prescott. They're trying to evaluate whether he's the guy, where are they as an organization. The Packers aren't asking those questions. Everybody on the planet feels like that's an ascending organization, right? With a young quarterback who it is time to take a chance on him. Very different than some of these situations that quarterbacks find themselves in. He waited his turn. He went out there and he absolutely proved it last year. And if you're the Packers, this is sort of exactly how you wanted this to go, isn't it? Like you wanted him to sit back. You wanted to run with Rodgers. Now he gets out there. He looks like he's pretty good. Now you have to pay him. I don't understand how this one got to this point.
I think it's a non-issue. I think it's a non-issue in the whole scheme of things. I don't sense a whole lot of friction. I don't sense a whole lot of drama. I don't think that, you know, this is something that's going to drag out long term. There's a reason why Jordan Love is doing this now as opposed to doing it in August, late in August, at the very beginning of September, where there could potentially be a risk of him missing preseason games or, you know, God forbid, regular season games. Like that's not, I don't think, on the table. He's doing it right now because this is the bargaining chip that he has to get a new contract. The Packers don't have another option. They have positioned Jordan Love as the quarterback of the future for this franchise since day one. Since the day they drafted him, he was the quarterback of the future. They have put not only resources in the fact of time into him, but resources and developing under Aaron Rodgers and all of that. Like, he's their guy. And they've, to the Packers' credit, they've never wavered from that. It's not like they've ever drafted anybody else at quarterback since Jordan Love. It's not like they have, you know, entertained or been rumored to be entertaining other quarterbacks in the free agent cycle or trading for anybody. Like, it is Jordan Love. It's Jordan Love's job. Even when there, I think, was skepticism when Aaron Rodgers left town And nobody had ever seen really Jordan Love play in the league. Like, will he be able to take over, you know, the torch? Like, the torch is being passed to him. Can he take it and run with it? He's been able to do that, and he's ran with it. And so the Packers have never wavered as him as the starting quarterback long-term for this franchise. So I don't think that there's a major issue here. I think a deal will get done because the Packers have nowhere else to go.
Yeah, I think it'll get done too. I do not think, though, that is a foregone conclusion that Jordan Love's going to be awesome for the next decade. I need to see more on that. I just think the Packers don't have a choice financially in you know what they're doing here. If he is good, right? Like, if he's really good and he's making Pro Bowls and doing all these things, has there been an organization better at doing quarterback, you know, at evaluating quarterback at whatever than the Packers over the last 30 years? Like, has there been a better run of Favre, Rodgers, potentially Love, Hall of Famer, and what appears to be at least a pretty good player? I don't know that there's been, and this is top of my head, so I'd really have to think about this. Like, has anyone had that level of continuity at that position like they have that you can think of?
No. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, you know, they've done a really, really good job going all the way back to Brett Favre. And Brett Favre was a reclamation project when they brought him in. You know, the Falcons didn't want him, and they didn't think that he would be a successful quarterback in the league, and, you know, turned into one of the best quarterbacks in that era, you know, no doubt about it. So, and then being able to hit on Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, it looks like by all accounts that they're going to hit on Jordan Love. Will Jordan Love be a star in the league? I don't know. I think the jury is still out on that, but can he be a successful quarterback? Yeah. I mean, I think that he's shown that already in his young career. And I do think that strategy with Jordan Love so far has paid off. You know, I equate it to an extent, the way that the Packers have evaluated quarterbacks over the last 30 years to the way the Steelers have evaluated head coaches in the last 50 years. Or wide receivers. But I mean, you know, Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. You know, like, they've been three head coaches. Like, then that's really kind of been the way that the Steelers have operated from a coaching perspective. That's the way the Packers have operated from a quarterback perspective.
The Niners are the only one that kind of comes to mind as in the conversation. Of course, Montana DeYoung. And then I don't remember who took over right after Young.
They had a lot of turnover. I mean, you know, Jeff Garcia was there for a minute. And
yeah, Garcia was pretty good. Alex Smith was fine. Kaepernick, while he was the starter, was fine. And then they have sort of bounced around. So even them, not really. The Packers, like, they have what looks like the ability to just sort of not ever have to skip a beat for three generations of quarterback in the NFL. That's pretty wild. That is pretty wild to think about, but that's where they are in this. And they got to get it done. I do think it's one of the more interesting holdouts now as we wait on Jamar Chase and we wait on these others. I'd sort of forgotten about Jordan Love. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, he's not going to practice. I'm like, oh yeah. Like, he's been around. He's probably due for a contract, and here we go. And they'll give him one. But knowing they're going to give him one, and they are, why are we here now? Training camp's here. Why has this not been done? That's the curious part of it. Like, what are we doing? Like, what, you cannot kill the momentum that you built last year. Give me a break. So we'll see. But Jordan Love wants a whole bunch of money, and they're going to give it to him. And, you know, they're going to give it to him whether he's worth it or not. I think he's, you know, again, he's had a year to show it, and he did. They gave him the opportunity. He went out there and he
took him to the playoffs
by relative NFL standards, right? To what get quarterbacks paid. And you look across the league at the quarterbacks that have been paid. I think he's at least earned that. And the Packers are, you know, they're in this situation because they chose to be in this situation. But don't fumble it now. Like, go get it done. Even if I don't think they will either, but I think they have to some degree by letting it get to even this point. Like, why are we in training camp and this is a problem?
I think it's ultimately going to be inconsequential. Again, like, it's not like he's
missing.
Our guy's
only been a starter 1 year, though.
I don't think he's missing meaningful opportunities here. I mean, I think that there are, we'll talk about this again in 2 weeks, you know, or in a month. If it drags out that long, okay, then I'm willing to have a conversation that this could be an issue that might negatively impact the chemistry of this team and how things are set up. But as of right now, I don't have any concern. I think that it'll be done sooner rather than later. And by that, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if there's an announcement by the end of this week that they've come to terms on a deal. The thing about it, too, is that the market is set. There aren't other quarterbacks that are, at least to my knowledge, that are currently negotiating deals right now that are in the same situation as Jordan Love. So he kind of has, like, he's doing it on his own right now. It's not like he's competing with other quarterbacks on deals. So it's like he knows where the market stands. His representation clearly knows that too. So they can go and they can get a new deal done with the Packers, who I think by all accounts probably are eager to get something done as well. Get it done by the end of the week. I think you see him back out at practice next week, and it's a moot point.
We always sort of have to ask, does this guy deserve to be the highest paid quarterback in the league? And that's probably what he wants to do, is reset the market. And that's what they're trying to evaluate, I would imagine. But at some point, like, you got to understand the business of this thing. It doesn't matter. You just got to do it. That's how the NFL works. All right, let's take a quick break. 869-1240. Let's come back. We'll take a look at the Royals tonight from a betting perspective. Anything out there we like in the opportunity against the Diamondbacks, we'll do that. When we return, it's all Brockton Caster. You can win some HTO. Don't forget, text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. We're coming right back with more Sports Daily after this.
KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Football coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. I joked about a touchdown pass to Rashi Rice at training camp. More notably, I think today, it sounds like, Tommy, that Wanya Morris is taking all the first-team reps at practice. And I would imagine that that is of significance, because they are going to have to come up with some sorting of things. And look, if he's looked better in practice and they're rotating guys out and he's looked the best, he needs to be the starter no matter what else is out there. If he's the player playing the best at the position, he needs to just be the starter at the position.
The question then just becomes, if he's the best at the position between the two, that's one thing. But is it the best that, you know, he needs to be to protect Patrick Mahomes? And is it the best of what they have available, or is it actually, you know, the best that, you know, and effective? Will he be an effective left tackle? And I know that, you know, they had high hopes for Wanya Morris, and I'm sure they still do, and that's probably why he's getting all the first-team reps. I'm not doubting him. But that is an extremely essential position, as we all know. And it's been the position that's had the most turnaround. It's the position that has had the most turnover. And so they've got to try to find a way to solidify that. My hope, my sincere and genuine hope, is that whether it is Wanya Morris or Kingsley Suamataya, that one of them sticks, that they become the long-term answer and they are effective at left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. And this doesn't become, or continue at least, to be the constant conversation year in and year out about what they need to do to fix left tackle. So if it becomes Wanya Morris, that's fantastic. That's my only question, though, is if he's getting all the first team reps and if he's the starter, is it that he's the best out of the two, or is he actually an effective left tackle? That's the only thing
I don't think he's had a fair shake. He's a third-round pick. Last year was his first year in the league. They obviously had high expectations for him, or they wouldn't have taken him in the third round. I think there's absolutely a world where Morris and Suamataya, who they took in the second round this year, become your tackles, and Jawan Taylor moves out. There's totally a world where Wanya Morris is your left tackle. They spent high draft capital on a player like him. I mean, a third-round pick. It's not all that different than Kingsley Suamataya. So, that is a part of the draft. They've been good at finding these guys. I think there is certainly a scenario where he elevates his game into that starter's role, and it's for a good reason, right? Because he's become a better player in the offseason. He's a second-year player. I don't know that we've given enough credit to that, because we saw Donovan Smith and we saw Jawan Taylor, and neither of those guys, But Wanya Morse was a young player that could elevate himself into that position for sure. So could Su Mataia. And guess what? If that bumps Juwan Taylor on the right side, the Chiefs have accomplished their goal, I think, long-term by finding the two tackles in back-to-back drafts. That's what we'll see. But if Morris is earning the spot because he's playing well, heck yeah. I think that's one of the best things that could happen for the Chiefs this offseason, quite frankly. All right, let's look at the Royals tonight. They play at 7 o'clock, looking for their fifth straight win. Bobby Witt Jr. looks to continue his streak. There may be a little animosity in there. The Royals on the money line right now, Tommy, are minus 115. They are actually not favored tonight. The Diamond, this according to ESPN Bet, the Royals are not favored tonight. The Diamondbacks are behind Jordan Montgomery. So I think that's pretty interesting. You can get, minus 115 there. Well, I guess they would be slight favorites. Let me take that back. They're slight favorites. It's almost perfectly even. Is this another game where you take the run line and try to get some plus money on that? I think it certainly could be the way they're playing. I think that's absolutely a place to look is to the Royals run line. If you did that right now, you'd get them at plus 170 if they win by two runs. That sounds pretty good to me.
I mean, I think the line is where it is, not only because of Jordan Montgomery, but also because you don't always know what you're going to get from Alec Marsh. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I mean, he could, spin a gym or he could get blown up. It's kind of one extreme or the other, typically, from what we see from Alec Marsh. And so you wonder, will it be the good Alec Marsh or will it be the bad Alec Marsh? He pitched a pretty good game the last start that he had, but that was all the way back on July 10th. As we've talked about before, we haven't seen Alec Marsh start a game since then. He came out of the bullpen, right after the All-Star break briefly, but we haven't seen him start since I think it was that doubleheader. One of the games in the doubleheader against the Cardinals back on July 10th. He went six innings in that game. He did give up three runs on three hits, but he had eight strikeouts, and the Royals won that game on the road against the Cardinals. So I don't know. I mean, I think that, you have to wonder, will there be any kind of, rust that he has to shake off? I know they gave him an inning in relief over the weekend on Friday, but will there be any kind of rust? It's been a couple of weeks since he started a game, so I do wonder about that.
All right, so here's one for you, and I may do this one for fun because I like that run line. And it really is like, do you think Bobby Witt Jr.'s streak continues tonight? You can get right now total bases, Bobby Witt Jr. over 2.5 total bases, and the Royals -1.5. You put those together, and on ESPN Bet, you get to plus 395. +3.5, almost 4-1, basically. 4-1 for Bobby Witt Jr. and the Royals to both continue this together. I might have some fun with that on a small number tonight. That's kind of where I'm at. It really is. Like, do you want to miss out on the opportunity here to strike while the iron's hot? And there was a portion of this season when the Royals got hot earlier in the year, they made a lot of money. They made me a lot of money because you just kept going back to the well until they, while they're on this heater, they beat people. They beat people badly. The players get hot. So that's something to think about, is that bet there with the Royals tonight. So there's that for you. When we look at it, with Marsh, the offense, just be ready to bail him out. I mean, is that kind of how we're, maybe you get a gym, maybe you don't, but sometimes pitchers get great offensive performances consistently. So that's kind of how I look at him now. You'd like to see the Royals offense just give him a little run, and probably they'll need to lean into the bullpen a little bit more than they have through some of these starts out of the All-Star break.
Well, and the offense has, come out hot since the All-Star break. Of course, 10 runs last night against the Diamondbacks, and then, the way that they hit against the White Sox over the weekend, the offense is coming alive. Jordan Montgomery, though, will be the best pitcher that the Royals have faced since the All-Star break. So, do we expect another 10 runs coming from the Royals in tonight's game? Probably not. Probably not. But I do think that that's going to have to be the way that the Royals get the win tonight, is that I don't think you can expect a gem from Alec Marsh. If you get it, that's a bonus. So I think it's going to have to be the offense coming out early, getting some run support. And then, you know, if you can then lean on the bullpen, because I think that Alec Marsh, if you can get five or six innings out of him where he gives up two or three runs, that's about, I think, typically what you can expect from him or what you should expect from him. If it's better than that, outstanding, it's a bonus. But five or six innings, two or three, maybe four runs from Alec Marsh, the offense should do more than that, and then lean on the bullpen to have, you know, a solid back half of the game. And I think that's going to be a good recipe for success.
Yeah, I do too. I think it'll be fine. I think they'll be fine. And I think that they're going to continue the win streak tonight, even with Marsh. And then if they do, then your eyes get big if you're a Royals fan, right? If you make it through and you get the Marsh win, then you rotate back through the rest of that, and this thing really could pile up. But we'll see. You'll hear the game tonight at 7 o'clock right here on KFH. We're going to take our final break. We'll come back, put a bow on this thing. Don't go away. Sports Daily returns next.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.